Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the CCL Products (India) Limited 4Q FY22 results conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, Abhishek.
Yeah, thanks, Ali. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to 4Q and financial year 2022 earnings call of CCL Products (India) Limited. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. B. Mohan Krishna, Executive Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar, CEO of the company, and Mr. V. Lakshmi Narayana, CFO, and Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary on this call. Without further ado, I request Srishant sir to start with his opening comments, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you for the introduction, Abhishek. I think opening comments will be given by Praveen this time. Praveen, you can start.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Abhishek, for arranging the call. The group has achieved a turnover of rupees 379.47 crores for the fourth quarter of 2021-22, as compared to rupees 334.55 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The net profit is rupees 52.70 crores as against 49.20 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA is rupees 87.53 crores, and profit before tax is rupees 68.14 crores. For the financial year 2021-22, the group has achieved a turnover of rupees 1,466.12 crores as compared to rupees 1,245.87 crores for the corresponding period of the previous year. The net profit is rupees 204.35 crores as against 182.26 crores for the corresponding period of the previous year. The EBITDA is rupees 335.16 crores, and the profit before tax is rupees 261.33 crores. That is it from my side. Please, we are open for questions from your side.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Srishant sir. Hi, Praveen sir. Thanks for this opportunity and congratulations on the amazing set of results. Given our exposure to Russia, one would have expected some kind of degrowth, but we have only grown, and that shows a lot of resilience as well. Another, my first question, quite obvious one, is the dip in our gross margins and is within the subsidiaries, and another is on the increase in staff costs, which is quite stark. Any insights on the gross margin and staff cost front within the subsidiary business? Yeah.
Okay. Gross margin, you know, there are a couple of reasons why gross margins got impacted, and some of these are very obvious and being witnessed across the board. One of the brass tacks reasons that we witnessed was, you know, because of the Russia-Ukraine war, some of our FD supplies got delayed. That, you know, and FD of course gives us better margins. That led to a little, you know, shrinkage there. Then, you know, you have seen that last few months there has been quite a bit of increase in the other input costs as well, meat, energy costs, and other costs. That also put some pressure. The third reason was that some of the logistics costs also was under pressure because of very high inflationary pressure. So if you combine all of these three, that led to little shrinkage in margin. But thankfully, because of our model, I think we have been able to, you know, kind of perform pretty well in spite of all these pressures.
Sir, but the transport costs and everything that you have mentioned would be below that line of should be other expenses, right? So anything that we have witnessed from the raw material front, any spike or anything, my point being, our spreads of processing, are they the same or have weakened a bit within the subsidiary part, majorly? Standalone remains resilient, but the subsidiary front, which could be Vietnam and the branded sales, anything different on that front this time?
Not really, you know. Only these factors have led, but because, you know, coffee prices, we generally are better covered because of our cost-plus model. But processing costs and all that, which are part of COGS, they have got impacted everywhere across the board. So that has only led to certain shrinkage in the margins.
Sure. And on the staff cost front, the spike that we're seeing there, both within India operations and subsidiaries?
I don't think so. There is a, you know, beyond the top line growth increment there. That's also almost in line with our growth percentages. So that hasn't
gone up by maybe 70% within subsidiary from 7.5 CR to 13.5 CR, something like that. So I'm guessing, is there any addition of manpower for the branded sales or something like that?
Subsidiary. Just a second, I'll just check. Because, you know, at the consolidated level, it's very, you know, in fact, much lower than the top line growth. I'll just check for the subsidiary that why it has increased. I'm just asking Lakshmi Rana to just check once.
Sure, sir.
Until then, if you have anything else, you can please go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, another question is the 15 to 17% growth guided. So that is on volume front or real EBITDA front?
It is on volume, and obviously because of our model, it will be on EBITDA front as well.
Right. Okay. Understood.
The value may grow even higher than that, but yeah, volume and the EBITDA growth will remain in that range.
Sure, sir. That's all from me. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sishant. Just want to know about how is the volume growth for the full year, you can say, and any color on the how much volume we lost because of the, you can say, logistic issue or Russia-Ukraine issue in the fourth quarter?
Sorry, can you just come again? I just missed your first part.
For the full year, what is the volume growth of, you can say, totally, and some color on India and Vietnam utilization level? And second thing, on the fourth quarter, because of the logistic issue and the Russia-Ukraine issue, how much volume we got lost or deferred to, you can say, the following quarter?
So, you know, first is volume growth, approximately 15% volume growth we got. Yeah.
Okay.
And as far as the fourth quarter thing is there, see, in terms of percentages of cost that got impacted was close to around 2%. And if I were to talk about volumes, approximately 500 to 700 tons of, you know, FD got deferred. So if that gives you an idea of, you know, the impact that we got in the fourth quarter.
Understood. Second thing, our small pack capacity was supposed to commence in the fourth quarter of 12,000 ton. Any update on that? Is that commissioned or when it is expected to commission?
Yeah, it's already commissioned. So now all the small pack is being done at our new unit.
So then next year, what kind of utilization we can expect from this 12,000 ton small pack?
So, you know, because of all these new things that have kind of impacted everything, a lot of our small packs used to go to the emerging markets. And that has got impacted because of the coffee price increases and all that. So right now, we are ourselves gauging that what could be our capacity utilization. But a large part of that capacity utilization is coming from the domestic market, which is our own branded sales. So approximately, you know, we know that out of that 12,000 tons, almost 50% will get utilized by the domestic market itself. So that is we are very sure of. And if you add some, if we get, you know, more small pack orders from outside, we could be looking at a, you know, 60 to 70% kind of a utilization.
Sure. So if I want to understand right now, as because of the dynamics, small pack demand, emerging market might be weak, but 2 quarters down the line, demand might settle and then our profitability will improve because of the higher contribution from the small pack, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ganguly from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had one question on volumes. So what would have been the volume that we have done in FD and SD?
So, you know, we will not divulge with exact volume figures. But, you know, our FD contribution this year would be approximately 25%.
Right.
Yeah, it could have been a little. Yeah, it could have been a little more had this 600-700 tons not got deferred. But yeah, barring that, approximately 25%.
Okay. Just a couple of other questions. One, can you give us how your, you know, the continental coffee, the domestic coffee business is doing? What is the revenue that you have done? And third is on your new initiative in the plant-based protein segment.
Okay. So, you know, the domestic market last year we had on a total level, which is like domestic consists of various segments, which is both branded and bulk and private label. We had achieved 150 crores last year. And this year we touched a figure of 200 crores, out of which almost 65% will be 65%. In fact, 70% will be brand, pure brand sales. Yeah. So that is the turnover that we achieved. And the brand sales and the top line, the total sales grew by 35% approximately, and the branded sales grew by 40%.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And the protein-based snacks, we just, in fact, a couple of days ago, we've just started to launch in the market. We have only chosen 3 cities, which is Chandigarh, Pune, and Hyderabad, to seed our product. So it will be a very, you know, a launch which is not like a big bang, but a more of a seeding launch because it's a new product category and it's a new initiative for us as well. So it's just, you know, a couple of days since the product has gone to the market, and we'll keep you updated as we go along.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritu Modi from IIFL Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my question. My first question is basically in terms of volume growth, which you indicated of 15%. I'm assuming that is for the year, right? Could you just help us understand the volume growth for the quarter? Because for 9 months, I think you indicated it was around 18.5%. So for the quarter, how much sort of volume growth did we do?
So for the quarter, it will be very, you know, not very high. It would be in the range of, you know, 5 to 7%. That is primarily, as I was mentioning earlier, is because of the deferment of one big consignment to Russia and Ukraine that got little delayed. So that happened in the month of April. So the fourth quarter numbers therefore look a little, you know, muted.
Understood. And in terms of the spreads that we would be making, because if I just look at a bit top of KG, what would that number be versus for FY22, and how are we looking at it going over the next 2-3 years?
So, you know, because we are not indicating the exact volumes, it's a little, you know, sensitive to share this data in terms of what will be our EBITDA per kg. But, you know, if you were to, because, and otherwise also segment-wise, we get different EBITDA between spray-dried, aglo, FD, and things like that. But, you know, the one thing which I would like to mention is that there would be very marginal differences in the EBITDA per kg that we'll witness quarter-on-quarter or year-on-year because of our cost-plus model. Of course, there has been a shrinkage in margins because of things which were beyond our control, like processing costs and freight costs and all that. So there has been a little bit of a shrinkage in the EBITDA per kg, but that's very marginal, and we will look forward to regain that in the coming months.
Okay, so basically I was just trying to understand, because we will have the small pack capacity also operational now, plus FD also being a high margin, higher spread business.
Yes.
So, I mean, we had indicated earlier as well from that 100 rupees, approximately 120 rupees. Is it fair to assume that we will be seeing a gradual increase because of all these factors which are high margin and high spread businesses, like the small pack as well as freeze, right?
Of course, we will be looking at a margin which improvement. But, you know, considering the situation which has become so volatile and dynamic, it's very hard for us to, you know, give a very definitive kind of an answer on that. The reasons being, you know, since the coffee prices have gone up so significantly, there is also a, downgradation in consumers, at consumer level from FD to SD. So we are seeing a pent-up demand in the SD. So that's one dynamic that is playing. The other dynamic, as you rightly said, that we will increase our small pack volumes. That should help us improve. There could be softening of prices on the other fronts. Could be. So there will be multiple, you know, dynamics that will come in play going forward. So while we will expect to improve, definitive answer may not be yes at this moment.
Sure, not an issue. Secondly, in terms of your capacity addition in Vietnam, we already have plans for around 16,500 coming up in Vietnam. So that is likely to be commissioned by the second half. Are we on track for that?
Yes, we are on track for that.
Okay, and the utilization levels which would be fair to assume for Vietnam as well as India, if you could give us a sense on that.
So, you know, currently in India itself, currently at a group level, we are approximately at 85% utilization today, which is almost, you know, a max kind of an utilization. We are hoping that we get the new plant capacity added for at least the last 3 months of the year. So that will add up to the capacity. But next year, if you look at the total capacity, we still could be doing around 80% of the full capacity. So that will be our utilization. So we are looking at, you know, very quickly filling up even the new capacity as well in Vietnam.
Sure, understood. And the guidance of 15 to 17% volume growth, which we have given, that we are maintaining that for FY23 as well?
Yes.
Okay, sure. I'll come back and ask for more questions.
Sure.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and congratulations for good numbers in difficult times. Three questions from my side. One, when you highlight that, you know, the volume growth would be about 15% for FY23, you know, two things to, you know, probably clarify over here. One, you know, Russia and Ukraine, which are one of the, you know, sort of large markets in CIS, you know, category for us, probably might not grow. But on the other side, we have been talking about one large US retailer, I guess, besides, you know, JD Pitts, which is already planned to come into our fold. So if, let's say, Russia, Ukraine, you know, the pressure subside, then we could do more than 15% growth also, including this new US client?
It could be, you know, but right now to say that we will grow more than that could be a bit of a speculation. So we will not kind of commit on that. But as you rightly said, if this, things ease up and there is more demand, because we believe that because of this war, there is also a drying up of the pipelines and things like that. So there could be, you know, a more demand this year. And that may help us to grow more than 15-17%. But as I told you, we're already maxed out on our capacities, and It's only in the later part of the year that we'll get additional capacities from Vietnam. So keeping all that in mind, I've given you a figure of 15%-17% volume growth.
But, you know, your 15% volume guidance takes both these into account, right?
I think there's a lot of disturbance. I cannot hear you.
Kashyap, there's background disturbance from your line. If you can just move.
Sorry. What I'm asking is that your 15% volume growth guidance takes both the things into account.
I'm not able to this thing. Can you just repeat my 15% volume?
I'm asking your 15% volume growth guidance is taking into account both the things that, you know, pressures could continue from Russia, but there is new client which is lined up in US.
If the client comes on board, then of course things could change. But, you know, one client coming on board, there could be some other clients dropping off the board. So net-net, yes, 15% is taking everything into account.
Okay. Second question is on our, balance sheet. If I look at our inventory days now, have reached almost up to about 130 days. Just about 4 years ago, that number would have been, half of what it is today. And that's putting a lot of pressure on, the cash conversion, as well as consequently, if I look at our debt, despite strong EBITDA growth and cash conversion, we have not been able to reduce our debt also. So, what should one take in terms of, inventory days as we go forward? And is this like a quarter-end phenomenon or, on an average, throughout the quarter, it would have been like this?
We have taken a call to store more green coffee, keeping the logistics issues in view, number one, and keeping in view of the price movements that we are witnessing from quarter on quarter. These two issues made us to take a call to have the more inventories on our boat. So if you look at it on annual comparison basis, normally we used to hold around 2.5 months stock, but due to this said reason, it has gone up to 4 months stock. This will I think hopefully by end of this current financial year, we'll end up somewhere around the 2 to 3 months stock level.
But let's say by the year end of FY23, could we expect that to come back to less than, let's say, 3 months? Is that possible?
Yeah, if all the issues are getting normalized, maybe in terms of the GC prices movements and the logistics issues and all, obviously, we may fall back.
And last question from my side. In terms of geography, US, Europe, and CIS, for the full year, can you give some highlight as to what's the volume growth in geography then?
Volume growth? Come again?
US, Europe, and CIS, what would be the growth in volumes separately, geography-wise?
15%.
So, see, when our volume was at 15%, this one was sub 10%, the Russian markets, because of the turmoil and all that, yeah? So, our US market grew pretty handsomely, more than 20%.
Okay.
And Europe market was more or less, Europe minus CIS was more or less around 15. So that, kind of, so our growths in US US market kind of, helped us to do, good numbers despite Russia-Ukraine issues.
Just one last bookkeeping question. In your cash flow statement, I can see, there is this exchange rate, difference which is adjusted in the adjustment, which is about 19 crores. Could you help us understand as to, would have it impacted our margins also meaningfully? And why this kind of 18-19 crore kind of, exchange rate loss?
No, there is no exchange loss. In fact, the conversion that we have accounted based on the shipping bill and RBI rate. And at the end of the year, we take the based on the forwards position. And overall, we have the currency gain.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hopefully. No, what I'm saying is that you, in the cash flow statement, it's added to the PBT, which means that it's a non-cash expenditure which is there as a part of your P&L.
Yeah, there is in the part of the P&L, there is a currency gain of almost around 8.95 crores due to the conversion,
okay.
Due to the currency variation. The values that we have accounted for and on 31st March, the rate that is prevailing, so there is 8.94 growth is there, which has been part of the P&L.
Let me take this offline because in the cash flow statement it's slightly different number. So let me get come back with on offline mode on this. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. So just wanted to have some more clarity about this Russian market in terms of our revenue contribution from this market. And despite challenges there, you mentioned that Russian market still grew this year. And even volume growth for the current quarter was positive of almost 5 to 7%. So I just wanted to understand that are we able to meet the supplies there? The demand environment is not impacted. And how do you see that the current scenario will pan out going forward? It's primarily from the Russian markets.
So, to answer your question, the first, first leg of the war, which almost lasted for approximately 30 days, that was the time when everything got impacted. Everything stopped. So that led to, some stress in the system. But however, as the days have gone by, and as you would also be reading in the newspapers, things have started to, let's say, not normalize on the war front, but normalize in the logistics fronts, etc. Because ultimately, the consumption has to take place. So therefore, what happened is that slowly the liners started taking, the containers, and things started to normalize. Although it's not 100% normalized, but yes, things have come back to, let's say, 75% or 80% of normalization. So that is the situation currently. Going forward, we really do not know, is the war going to end soon, or how much time will it take? But what we know is that there is a quite a bit of normalization, and therefore our supplies are now okay. It's not as bad as when the war started. So that is the situation, and there is no drop in the demand for coffee, at least, that we have witnessed in these markets.
In terms of revenue contribution from Russian markets, can you just quantify that?
Revenue contribution. So approximately 20% is our revenue contribution from Russian markets.
Okay. Sir, second is on this Brazilian market, and that is also a pretty large supplier globally in terms of coffee procurement. We are seeing that the currency appreciation and some impact on fertilizers, that what we are hearing that the yield may be impacted. Do you also see that the Brazilian coffee market, green coffee, can be impacted? And how, what impact you see on the global market on the appreciation of the Brazilian currency, and how you see that this scenario is going to impact you?
So as far as Brazil is concerned, Brazil is actually the market leader, and the largest volume of green coffee is grown in Brazil. So naturally, if there is any impact in the production in Brazil, it impacts the world terminal market prices as well. Last year, we've seen a little bit of frost impact. There are multiple things that have gone wrong in Brazil, which is why this price increase also has come about in the market in the last 1 year. Going forward, as of now, the predictions that are coming out of the market is that things are really not going to ease up for next year. Maybe after another 1.5 years or so, things might ease up. But the upcoming crop and next year's crop also might get impacted, is what they're saying.
Okay. Just last one. How do you see that our CapEx plans? What is the CapEx plan for the current year? And also if you can just mention that in our retail business, what kind of infusion we are planning to do for the current year?
CapEx for the current financial year, at Indian operations, we are expecting a normal level of around 30-40 crore this year. And for maybe based on the second half year, based on the new plans that we may come out, what could be the additional requirement. And getting into the NCL operations side, Vietnam operations, we have taken a call expansion with $30 million is the total CapEx. So for enhancing the capacity from 13,500 to 30,000 tons.
So $13 million you're seeing in Vietnam, 13, right?
30. 30 million.
Okay, $30 million. $30 million for Vietnam operation. That will be all spent this year?
Yes.
Okay, and 30-40 for India.
Yeah.
Roughly 250 crore around.
Yeah. Out of $13 million, $10 million we are going to contribute, and the $20 million we are going to borrow.
Sorry, I didn't get that. $20 million going to?
We are going to borrow.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So total spend will be 250 crore for the current year?
That's right. At the group level.
$30 million, Vietnam, will give us additional 10,000 tons of capacity?
16,500 tons additional capacity.
15,500?
16,500.
One six.
From 13,500, it will be enhanced to 30,000.
Okay, got it. And, sir, in terms of capacities will be available by end of this year, and commercialization we can expect from FY 2024?
Yeah, in third quarter, we are expecting the trial to begin, and the fourth quarter onwards, the commercialization will come into.
Okay. Sir, in terms of your growth guidance, you mentioned roughly 15%, that I understand is primarily driven by volume. That means that in a world, and we have been pretty handsomely growing with a similar rate in last two years, definitely we are continuously gaining market share because it's quite evident that world markets are not growing at that rate. Sir, can you give some more sense that earlier you have mentioned that, you know, some of the Brazilian smaller players probably have lost market, and that had given you edge in terms of gaining market share globally and also giving more access to the U.S. market. Is this trend is still going on, and that's what you are giving you confidence of growing 15% in terms of volume growth? Or you have got some couple of customers who are giving you confidence that you will be able to achieve this kind of growth?
So for us, if you look at it in a more holistic perspective, we have our factories present in India and in Vietnam. So both locations, we have green coffee available. We can also import raw materials and then re-export. So we have multiple advantages which are there in our favor. If you are in Brazil, for instance, you are dependent only on the local crop, so it becomes very difficult for anyone to actually try to import it, and the local duties, taxes, and everything, the system is also quite complicated. And in a competitive market, every cent matters, end of the day. Our biggest strength is we have that economies of scale advantage. The volumes that we procure is also quite high, so we usually get that first preference from suppliers as well. And we also, our customers also know that if they need whatever volumes at a short, with a shorter, lead time, we can actually cater to their requirements. So all these factors is giving us that confidence that we can keep growing further. Earlier, the expansion plans, what we've mentioned, is only up to Vietnam as of now, but I've already mentioned earlier also, we are making plans to add another 16,000 tons of production capacity. The location is something that we are still, we still haven't finalized yet, whether it's going to be in India or outside India. That's a call that we will take in the next couple of months' time once we complete our feasibility studies.
Okay. So, sir, you are saying that apart from this Vietnam CapEx, you still are contemplating 16,000 tons of additional capacity. For that, the location have yet to be finalized?
Yes.
Are you looking for cross-border, I mean, new territories apart from India and Vietnam, or it will be any of these?
Yes, we are. We are looking at new territories beyond... I mean, we're looking at India as an option and also outside India.
because there is, there are certain continents that we can actually capture more aggressively if you're physically present there. But things are a little complicated with any country that we go to. We have to look at local situation, political, geopolitical situation, multiple things we have to look at, stability, currencies. So keeping all these things and raw material most importantly. So once we evaluate all these aspects, that's when we'll take a call where to proceed with the expansion.
And since it will be completely greenfield, what kind of total investment outlay it can have, sir?
It's too early for us to comment on that right now. But yes, it will be totally greenfield.
Got it, sir. And sir, this Vietnam, the going from increasing by 16,500 up to become 30,000, what will be the breakup there, FD and traditional?
Where? Vietnam is all 100% spray dry.
All spray dry. Okay. So in 16,500, there is no FD?
No FD at all.
Okay. Sir, we had earlier that realizations were in, getting in favor of spray dry, and FD was seeing some capacities, additional capacities coming, and was seeing the pressure in the realization. That was a scenario almost a year back. How you see that now? I mean, Have this started reversing, that you are seeing a further better margins in FD and lower in spray dry? That has always been the case, or is spray dry still giving you higher margin than FD?
So right now there's not much of a change, because normally when the green coffee prices go up, then all the product costs for FD as well as FD do increase. So most customers, if they want to look for alternatives, they'll start looking at transitioning from FD to SD. So considering the huge price increase that we've seen in coffee for the last 1 year, we could clearly anticipate that SD is where the volumes are increasing. And as I mentioned earlier also, going forward, at least for the next year or so, we're definitely, even if there's a price correction, the market consensus is clear that it will not be more than, say, $100 down. There's still a potential upside of $100 plus or $200 plus also. So we're not looking at a steep correction or anything anytime in the near future, which means that the SD demand will continuously keep growing until this gets reversed.
Okay, so you are not expecting that green coffee prices will fall beyond $100 or something, and that is keep on, and that will keep the spray dry demand intact.
Yes.
Okay. So just last, I have still few more. What will be the margin difference right now between freeze dry and spray dry in terms of average dollar per kg?
So about, we'll have at least around 10 to 15% variation between the two. Actually, more than 15%, yeah.
So 15% is still higher in a freeze-dry?
Yes.
Would it be possible to share in a dollar? I mean, we earlier used to have, I think, $1 average in a spray-dry, yeah, and $1.50 in a...
80 cents or something like that. Between 80 cents to a dollar. Depends on the customer that you're selling to.
Okay. So SD still will be 80 cents to $1, and freeze dry will be 15 to 20% higher than that.
No, no, no. I'm talking about SD being 80 cents to a dollar more than SD.
Okay. And this small packaging size that we are continuously focusing on, that I believe that our Australian capacities, I mean, that are completely used, and are you planning to put more small packaging capacities and going to invest some more there? How this or what kind of our total turnover you see is coming from the small pouches and small packaging units?
So small pack, we've already made an investment of about 140 crores to set up this packing facility in India. And the infrastructure has been built to expand up to 20 to 25,000 tons. So that is the ability, as in when we add equipment, we can go up to that extent. Right now, the equipment that we have is in the range of about 10,000 tons or so, 10,000-12,000 tons. And tomorrow, based on the response we see from the market, if we have customers who have specific requirements, we have the ability to keep expanding that capacity within the same premises.
So currently we have 10,000 tons of kind of capacities, and what is the utilization level of this small pack?
About 60% or so, 60 to 70%.
And to go from 10 to 20 to 25,000, not much investment in plants and all will be required.
It's only the equipment cost that we'll have to look at it. If you have a specific customer saying they want automated packing, then the investment will be totally different. So we don't want to make an investment unless we're sure that there is a customer who wants a particular specific product.
Right, sir. And still here also.
To interrupt you, maybe request you to come back in queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jason. On the FD capacity of 11,000 ton, we are running optimally this year, last year?
No, we still had about 20%, about 10 to 20%, yes.
So 15 to 7% kind of volume growth you mentioned for the next year. So FD volume also will be in then line, or probably because of the capacity constraint, FD may be single digit volume growth?
If you actually look at sales and dispatches, the large portion of what was supposed to be dispatched in March was dispatched
in April. Yes.
Yeah. So that also will factor in, no?
Understood.
So yeah, it will be, as an FD should be a little more than last year.
Understood. Second thing on the, now since FD is probably will be running it optimally by end of FY23, any plan to expand our FD capacity? Because as of now, Vietnam don't have FD and India we will be utilizing fully.
So not at this point in time. As I was mentioning earlier, looking at how the coffee prices are, we are really not foreseeing that sudden sharp increase in FD demand anytime in the near future. And there are other companies who have already started investing in FD 2 years ago, which will start coming online and become operational by next year. So we don't think it's the right time for us to go for FD expansion at this point in time.
Okay.
If the situation evolves or changes over a period of time, then we may take a call to go in for that expansion. But as of now, at least for the next 6 months to a year or so, we're not looking at FD expansion.
So in FY24 and probably initial of FY25, our FD volume growth will be flattish because of the capacity constraint, right?
Pardon? Yes, the FD, yeah. FD will be constrained because of the capacity, yes.
Sure. Second thing on the Vietnam, the $30 million capex, will that also entail the zero income tax, or do we have to pay income tax on the newer capex?
Zero tax.
Understood. And how is the current US demand and some color on the how working capital is shaping up in US? Because earlier it used to be high credit market.
So US is still the same. The terms and conditions are the same. So volumes are growing. The credit terms are always the same for any US customer.
And
so
it is
the volumes increase, automatically that credit days also will remain the same.
Understood. And it is a small pack, high margin business for us, right?
Small packs we are increasing now in the US. We have slowly started introducing in the last 2-3 years. And that is also growing. Our bulk is also growing in the US. So both categories are growing, actually.
Understood. And my last question to Praveen on the branded. Praveen, last year, how much profit or loss we made in the branded business of close to around 200 crore? And some color on the retail touch point where we are right now, and some color on the next year revenue and the touch point guidance.
So as I have always maintained, what we are doing is we are investing back into the business. So for the last couple of years, we have been breaking even. Mm-hmm. And last year also we broke even. So we invested back, and therefore I think, and I'll just answer one more question which was asked initially, that how manpower cost for subsidiaries have gone up. So these are manpower costs which have gone up for the subsidiaries and largely for CC, the domestic market. And these are the investments we are doing largely to make sure that we keep the growth momentum going. So that's the answer on the profit front. And second, as far as the growth and the our standing in the market is concerned, as I told you, the brand grew by 40%. So that's a good rate of growth that we witnessed last year also. And this year also, we are looking to grow in the same range. So we're looking to grow the business at 40%. One of the differences that we'll see this year is our distribution expansion. So the last 2 years, because of COVID and all, our distribution was pretty, you know, we were not able to scale up our distribution. But this year we are looking to scale up, go a little more, you know, do a little more penetration in the south and expand to other north markets, which we have not been able to do in the last 2 years.
Understood. And from the profitability point of view, when we expect a significant profit generation from this retail venture?
So, you know, that's a very tough one to answer. Significant is a key word that you have used. So we're not looking to, you know, kind of significantly drive profits on the branded business, because the whole idea is to keep expanding. And as I have mentioned in the last call as well, it's not only now India that we are looking to expand. We're also looking to expand in the other parts of the globe as well. So we are looking to keep investing in brand building as keep going along. So I don't think so in the midterm future we'll be looking to, you know, start expecting a lot of profit from this business.
Just to add to that, end of the day, core business is profitable and is still growing at a healthy pace.
Okay.
So there's no real need or pressure to ask the domestic team to start focusing on profits rather than top line.
Understood.
So the mandate given is that you just focus on top line growth as much as possible in a self-sustaining manner. We don't want to bleed, but at the same time, we want to grow to the maximum extent possible in a sustainable way.
Understood. And last year, when 40% plus on the branded revenue growth rate, so repeat purchase will be double-digit growth rate, excluding the penetration?
Yes. Repeat purchase will be high. In fact, for the last year and or let's say the year before also, because of the COVID, the expansion growth was not much. In fact, a lot of our growth is coming from repeat purchases itself. And we now, you know, even if we do, because if we do soft feedback from the market, what we get to hear is that people who have tried our brand have kind of stuck onto our brand. So there's a lot of, repeat purchases. And our large packs sell more than the small packs. So that itself is a testimony to the fact that we have got very loyal set of consumers.
Understood. That's encouraging. Thanks, God.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Shishant and Praveen. I hope my voice is audible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just in terms of Russia, I need just some qualitative in terms of comment from your side, how the demand we are seeing from Russia, particularly for India as a geography or a CCL as a company, because what we understand globally, a lot of geographies are restricting shipment to Russia, right? How the India or Vietnam as a country are benefiting and we as a company, that is what. And secondly, in terms of receivables, right, as we have already seen maybe 300 to 500 metric ton of a shipment postponement, so how do you see the receivables and collections from Russia?
So as far as Russia is concerned, whatever contracts that we have in place from before, we are executing those contracts without any problem. We are not defaulting like some other manufacturers have actually started defaulting from other countries. So there's an additional demand that has gotten created over there in Russia. As far as payments are concerned also, we're not seeing any problems. In some instances, we are actually receiving advance payments also from customers, and then they're asking us to ship the product.
okay, the situation is better for India or Vietnam or as a company for us, right?
Both India and Vietnam, because they've taken a more neutral stand, I think that business is continuing with Russia. So, yeah, we're not forcing any, too much of a change in that. In fact, even in, forget India and Vietnam, even a lot of European countries are doing a lot more business with Russia now.
Okay, understood. And in terms of a small pack and a bulk pack, what is the contribution in terms of volume or if you can share, Shushan, in the FY22?
See, right now, small pack is quite small for us because our overall volumes have been increasing a lot in the bulk space. So earlier at one point in time, we were almost at around 25% for small packs, which has now come down to around 18% to 20%.
Okay. And going forward, how do you see, because we have done a CapEx in this part, so how do you see the contribution going forward?
The contribution, we are endeavor is to go to the 25% again going forward, 25% to 30%.
Okay, understood. And in terms of EBITDA per kg,
the percentages may remain small, but the small pack itself will grow because what is happening is the large packs are growing equally well. So that is why the percentages may look to be same, but the small packs will also grow, and thanks to the domestic growth, which will be at around 30% to 40%, the small pack growth will be there. So right now our capacity utilization is around 60%. It will go up by 30% to 40% definitely.
Okay, understood. And in terms of EBITDA per kg, we are not giving numbers in terms of EBITDA per kg. But going forward, talking about 23, 24, the EBITDA per kg ideally should improve, right, for us business, because small pack is going down, FTC should contribute much better.
Yeah, it should improve, as I was telling earlier also, because this year probably we're looking at better FD volumes also because of this thing. So we should improve, but very difficult to now comment at this stage.
At the end of the day, there is still a lot of pressure. One should keep in mind that there are a lot of input cost increases, packing materials have increased, fuel has increased. There is not a single industry that I can think of that has not been impacted by this war, by COVID. Some impact or the other is there. And in a situation like that, really focusing on improving margins is not the real key. The idea is that during this difficult time, we need to support customers to increase the volumes, keeping our costs to the minimum. And once things stabilize, that is when we can focus on increasing the margins.
Okay. No, because Shriram, the why I'm asked about, because in a B2B business, right, whether it's DC or FDC, right, usually it is a more of cost or pass-through in terms of a contract, and more pressure in a margin should come on a branded business, right? So just any dynamics has changed, or we are just sharing with the customer on a cost, whatever it is happening?
No, the dynamics have not really changed. It's right from the beginning, the idea of creating this domestic entity also was to focus on converting CCL from a B2B player to a B2C player. And for that to happen, we knew it's going to take some time. Fortunately, things are going as per our plan right now. The only variation that we've seen now in the last couple of, in the last year or so is, the parent company also is now expanding at a much more aggressive rate. So it will take a little longer for the domestic entity to catch up. So if you look at it purely on a percentage basis.
Okay, understood. And if you booking...
Sorry to interrupt, but may we request you to come back in queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhiral Shah from Philip Capital.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, so what was the contribution of branded product in the 200 crore revenue pie?
Sorry, there was some disturbance.
Anil, there's a lot of background disturbance from your end.
So what is the contribution of the Continental branded product in the overall 200 crore pie?
As almost 65 to 70%, I must say. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, lastly, when you are looking to expand, you know, further by 15,000 tons, so what, you know, gives you confidence? Because instant coffee market itself is growing just 3 to 4%, right?
Yes. So, you know,
so what gives you confidence?
Actually, if you if you would have heard Srishant in one of the questions that he answered a few minutes ago, he said that, you know, because of our economies of scale, both in terms of, you know, processing and in terms of buying, is giving us the edge in terms of, you know, our ability to capture more and more market share. And because we have been able to, you know, capitalize on this kind of economies of scale, it has also helped our clients, some of our clients who are our, you know, loyal clients, to expand their business internally. So most of our clients are able to expand their market share, and which has led to these kind of growths. And because of our economies of scale and because we are growing bigger and bigger, it is helping us, you know, gain these kind of market shares. And therefore that confidence comes that we'll be able to grow at such a rapid pace. And there are a lot of markets that we feel are still nascent when it comes to our presence. And we are very confident that we'll be able to build our presence in those markets like we did it in US market and gain market share.
Okay, okay. Got your point, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Jain from ValueQuest Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shishan. Hi, Praveen. Just for clarification, can you provide the current capacity breakup between India and Vietnam and further in LC and FD?
So, India, we have 25,000 tons and Vietnam will have 30,000 tons by the end of this year.
Okay, and what is the split between SD and FD?
11,000 tons of FD, rest is all SD.
Understood, understood. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, most of my questions have been answered. I have only two questions left. So the first question is, how much does Russia contribute to our overall revenue?
20%.
Sorry?
20%.
20%. Okay, sir. Okay. And so my second question is, just wanted to understand on the prices, how are the prices of coffee shaping us? Like, what was it last year and how is the prices currently going on? You can give some directional view on that.
So coffee prices last year in January were in the range of about $1,300 per ton. Today it's at about $2,100 per ton. For Robusta.
$2,100.
Yeah, 90% of what we use is Robusta.
Yes, yes.
For Robusta I'm referring. For Arabica, the prices from 1300 have gone to around 3000.
Okay. $1,300 to 3000.
Yeah, 3300 in that range actually.
Arabica, okay, okay. So the Arabica coffee, this coffee was much impacted by the Brazil drought, right, sir?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so this the Brazil drought won't be impacted much on our business.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Sisodia from Concept Invest Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
So I'm sorry, you're not audible.
Hello, now is this better?
Yeah, it's better. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. And most of the questions have been answered. My one question is, what the guidance is the company provided, if I'm not wrong, here 2 years back, you know, where we talked about getting into pod segment and the capsule segment. So if you could give me any color on that, like how are we looking at those segments going ahead?
So this is a segment that we've, unless we have a specific customer who is interested in that particular product, we usually don't supply that product. Now, pod is something which is roasted ground coffee. The shelf life of roasted ground coffee is significantly lesser than that of instant. And now considering the, if your shelf life is 6 months to 9 months, and due to the logistics issues, if there are delays by 2-3 months, then the shelf life of the product comes down drastically, which is why most of the people, they buy pods and all in the consuming country itself from local roasters at a higher price point.
Right, sir, but at some point, obviously now COVID has happened and there has been a lot of logistics, but at that time the management was positive about getting into entering these segments because it also has a very high customer base and high margin business. So are we again looking to enter into that segment again when we see a very good demand over there, or is it just going to be instant coffee for us?
No, we've not been in this segment of pods before. We have explored it. We have, I mean, the equipment, all that is also there, but it's not something that we aggressively push for because it's there's no entry barrier for you to get into this segment at all. Anybody can do it. So you'll have more competition. Now after the first patent ran out, now there's another new patent which is currently being used. So it depends on what category that you're looking for. So, and also there's a lot of negativity that is there towards pods because of the landfills. People are looking for more sustainable packaging. Especially in Europe, they don't like the fact that there's so much waste that is getting created because of pods.
Okay, right, sir. So this is my next question. So given special point, what should we expect the EBITDA for KDO quarter to at least be at line with the inflation that we are seeing in the country?
Not able to hear you at all.
Rishabh, I'm sorry, we are unable to hear you. We'll move to the next question then from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for follow-up. Can it possible to share revenue, EBITDA and PAT for Vietnam as a subsidiary for FY22?
We have recorded a revenue of 450 crores and profit before tax of 104 crores.
Sales is, could you repeat the number? Your voice is not clear.
450 crores is the revenue that we have recorded at Vietnam operation. And before interest and depreciation, it was 130 crores. And profit before tax and after tax, it was 104 crores.
Okay. And in terms of a continent like the brand, what is the EBITDA and PAT we have made in FY22? And if possible, can you share the ad spend also for the subsidiary?
So, we will not share the detailed numbers on that, but what we can share is the top line, as I was telling you, for the domestic business was 200 crores, out of which 70% was branded sales. And we broke even on this business last year.
Group even in terms of EBITDA or PAT?
In terms of PAT.
PAT, okay. And last one, in terms of the export incentive, how much of the export incentive we have booked in the FY22 and how much of it remain is still pending with the due receipts?
We have accounted for 16.5 crores we have received during the 22 financial year, and around 7 crores is the balance eligible to receive.
Okay, 16.5 you said, right?
Yes.
FY22.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, and thank you. That's for myself, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, participants are requested to limit their questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Dheeral Shah from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. So what was the utilization of Vietnam plant in FY22?
By the year end, by the current calendar year end, it will be implemented.
No, no, sir. Utilization of Vietnam plant in FY22.
It was 85%.
And for the incremental capacity of 3,500 tons?
So, which includes incremental capacity, total capacity 13,500, and we are at the operation of 85%.
Okay, okay. And sir, if you can share the Switzerland revenue and PAT?
Revenue 450 crores is the revenue that we have achieved at Vietnam operations.
Sir, Switzerland operations, sir.
Switzerland operations, it was yeah, it was the 220 crores is the revenue that we have recorded at this operation.
Answer PAT?
And the profit, it was 7.05 crores.
How much? 7.5 crores.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, on this plant-based protein business, so this would be a domestic B2C business model, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, sir, in the larger scheme of things, what I wanted to understand is that, you know, the whole transition from a B2B business model to a B2C, you know, because a B2B business, you know, is a extremely good business wherein we have extremely high, you know, sustainability in terms of, you know, getting fixed margins, and our margins itself are quite high, like 25% EBITDA and 15% PAT. So I would wanted to understand, with this transition to B2C, do you think we'll be able to achieve those kind of, you know, that kind of sustainable business and profitability in the B2C business? Given that, you know, this businesses require a lot of incubation in terms of marketing spends to create a brand, and then, you know, at most maybe we'll be able to get around 10-15% kind of PAT margins.
So I think just to, you know, answer your question, transition is probably not the right term, because that sets very wrong expectations. It's not that we are transitioning.
Yeah, from, I mean, additional business.
Additional business, yeah. So now, of course, it additional B2C business is not an easy one. It won't give you returns in a jiffy. It takes time to build brands. But if you're looking at very long-term perspective that we're not looking here only for a 3-year, 5-year or 10-year perspective. But we are looking at a 20-year, 30-year and a 40-year perspective. In that perspective, if you see, obviously the brand business will give you better returns than a B2B business. And it's always more, you know, value gets added more if you build brands, isn't it? So that's the whole, you know, thought behind adding a B2C segment as well to CCL.
Right. So, isn't there some kind of consideration, you know, like looking at the B2B model in adjacent space, like even like in case of plant-based protein snacks, right? Even in that case, you know, we would have looked to expand on the B2B model to start with before getting into B2C. You know, because, you know, what is happening is nowadays, you know, in all this segment, be it coffee and the snacks, there are a lot of B2C brands, right? So rather than competing with them on the front end, you know, being the back end of a partner manufacturing for all these guys, wouldn't that be a great business to be in?
You know, the only difference here is that unlike a segment like coffee or other snacks, where there is already a huge consumer segment available where B2B players could play, here the category itself is very nascent. So, it was very, you know, it wouldn't have made sense to become a B2B player in this category. And considering that we are looking to expand our B2C segment, we were looking at certain categories where we could start playing. And as you rightly said, there are certain categories that are very cluttered. So this category, although it comes in the snacking category, is actually different and very nascent and evolving category. And our thinking process here was completely opposite, that we will, you know, seed the market with our own brand. Let's see how things evolve. And probably in the future, we could backward integrate. And that's the time we could actually become a supplier to our own brand as well as to somebody else as well. So here our thinking process has been a little different on this.
Yes. So to start with, we won't be manufacturing this product over?
No, we are not manufacturing. We are sourcing it from a third party.
Domestically?
Yeah, domestic. Right now we are launching in the domestic market. That too in very limited areas in 3 cities. And we'll see how this category shapes up and how we do on in this category. Again, even in the B2C segment, as you would have noticed, we don't really go the big bang way, whether it was coffee, whether it is this, so that the margins don't get depleted. So all we want to do is that make it self-sustainable in, 3 to 5 years time, so that the brand gets to feed itself and, does not kind of have a stress on the parent company.
Right. So, sir, in the very long term, would it be a right understanding that CCL as a company would be more focused on, venturing into additional B2C areas rather than, figuring out any other B2B market wherein it could expand in terms of categories?
In the B2B space, right now, coffee, we have that strength, we have that economy, the scale advantage.
Yeah, coffee was obviously a natural extension.
Yeah, so that's why international expansion also, that is the area that we are going to keep focusing on. Now, if any of the other categories that we are venturing into, if our volumes increase, and at that point in time, based on the situation, we might take a call to get into manufacturing of those products, and we might consider B2B in that segment as well. But this is all a lot of speculation. As of now, our focus is actually quite clear. Our focus is that on the B2B space, there is still a lot that we can do, and there is a lot of new areas, new territories that we can explore, right, which is what we are focusing on now. While doing that, in order to have more sustainable growth in the future, we are also focusing on our own branded presence in India and maybe a little bit outside India as well.
Okay.
These are the primary areas of growth. Things like these plant-based foods and all these other things, these are all very, very small categories. By virtue of being a public company, we have to announce it, which is why we announced it. But right now, to be very frank, we're just seeding the market to see how the response is going to be. We are just experimenting. So future also, we will keep experimenting with products. But our primary focus is still going to be on these two areas. One brand, our own continental brand for coffee, and the B2B for coffee.
Yeah. That was great. Thank you. At all.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks, Ali. So I would like to thank CCL management for giving us the opportunity to host this earnings call. Also, thanks to all the participants for joining in. Over to you, Srishant sir, for your closing comments. Srishant sir, as well as Praveen sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. I just wanted to thank you and the entire Nirmal Bang team for organizing this. Looking forward to talking to all of you again next quarter.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.